Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to photographers, doctors, pianists, behavioral scientists, you name it. We hear about their personal path to doing what they do, the skills required, and the tools they use for the job. I'm Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Tim Immens. Being an accountant is not what he initially planned for himself, but accounting has many applications and it is the backbone of business that allowed him to grow professionally. Unlike what many may think, it is an exciting and interesting job, also for those who don't necessarily love numbers. Here's Tim. Okay, Tim, I am very honored to have you as my guest. Your job is a very interesting job because it's really needed. It's everywhere. Maybe not too many people or the youngsters know what it is it that you do. So I would like to start with you describing in general and simple terms, especially for a younger audience, what is an accountant?
Well, an accountant is somebody who prepares and analyzes financial statements. What is a financial statement? A financial statement is in simple terms, there's two financial statements. One's called profit and loss account, which is the income or revenue that you generate from business, less the expenses, which gives you profit. And the other one is a balance sheet, which basically tells you what your financial situation, whether you've got money in the bank or not. That's the net of it.
So it's related, of course, to companies and corporates. It's also for really any organization that needs to run numbers, right, and has ins and outs. So how do you become an accountant? I'm sure you study, but how do you get, to like the job of being an accountant?
Well, how do you become an accountant? It's not typically something that appeals to youngsters looking at financial statements or analyzing financial statements. I mean, in my case, I went to university. I actually studied history, which is
nothing to do with
accounting.
Okay.
But history, at the end of that, my father said to me, you know, what do you want to do with history? You know, do you want to be... What can you do? You can be a teacher, you can be a historian, a lecturer, or you can become a professional. You know, for example, an accountant or a lawyer, if you do that, then you're always going to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really why I went into it. And because I didn't know what I wanted to do, even after university, like many young kids, that's why I basically flipped a coin. It was out of becoming an accountant or a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I had no real idea of what it meant at the time.
Yeah, okay. So it was, did you do like 1 year after your university?
Yeah, accounting firms like people from diverse backgrounds because you do what's called a foundation or a conversion course, which is 1 year where they actually teach you what accounting involves. And after that year, you can either stay or leave, but you need to pass some exams.
Yes.
And that's called converts you from being, you know, somebody who doesn't know anything about accounting to somebody who understands what the business is about.
And in your career, what was your accounting specialty, let's say? What were you doing on a daily basis? Or what are you still doing?
Good question. Well, when you start accounting, you have to pass some exams to become a professional. It's just like any job. You can't become a doctor unless you prove that you have passed the necessary exams to become a doctor. It's the same with accounting. But whilst you're studying for accounting, you actually go out in the field and you meet all kinds of different businesses and business people, and you understand what they're doing, and you actually work with experienced accountants on how to ask questions about financial statements and how to prepare financial statements.
Okay. So your daily job would be to what exactly? Someone who has never, you know, been an accountant, doesn't know anything about financial statements.
So, as I said, accountancy is two things. It's the practice of preparing financial statements, and the second thing and more important thing is analyzing financial statements. Preparing it is basically understanding what the business is doing, how much they're selling, how much they're spending, and preparing a profit or loss account for the business. You then tell the business, this is the direction that you're going, in terms of analysis, you tell them, this is what you've delivered, and let's take a look at what you could deliver by analysing the statements and giving them direction on the future, potentially for planning, to plan for the future.
And you get numbers from different departments?
Yes. I mean, typically the basic numbers come from selling stuff, selling products or selling services. Typically when you do that, you deliver sales invoices. That's your revenue. And then you look at all the expenses that the business has incurred. Expenses are, for the most part, usually payroll costs, people, but also if you're a manufacturing business, it's components to build products. Those are the typical expenses. And the trick with all business is that you sell more than you spend.
That's a goal, let's say.
Yeah.
So if I want to apply this to other, like to NGOs, non-governmental organizations, what would be, for example, the application there?
Well, again, there are all different types of businesses. You have charities and NGOs. Many of these are what's called non-profit organizations. And they don't sell anything,
right,
but they receive funds and income from sponsors, for example, governments. And the objective there is to use the funds that are donated and spend those funds for good causes, whatever they may be, you know, aid or advice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, because I could imagine that maybe someone who's good or attracted, you know, by numbers and things, but maybe doesn't want to work for a company, like a for-profit organization, and it could be interesting to know that there are several other applications and declinations of this job. I can also think of the film industry, where, you know, anywhere that there's money to be accounted for and final statements to make. Now, the question is it, do you need to like numbers?
Well, that's a good point. It's actually a common misconception that accounting equals numbers.
Okay.
As I said, I did a history degree. I didn't do a mathematics degree.
Yeah.
When I first started accountancy, I never even used a calculator.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually was very surprised to see that you became an accountant from being a potential historian, for example.
Exactly. So, you know, coming back to numbers question, accountancy is more about analysis and having an analytical mind. So my history helped me looking at the past, what businesses have done, looking at their numbers and the statistics from the past and predicting what will happen in the future. That's what many historians do.
Yeah.
So it isn't all about numbers. In fact, the best accountants are more communicators. They're people that can explain and communicate what's going on with the numbers. A bit like doctors. I mean, doctors or dentists.
Yeah.
The best doctors are the doctors that have a very good bedside manner. They can explain and talk to you about what's going wrong rather than going into the details of why they've done what they've done to you.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking when someone comes out of university or studies, there's always this chicken and egg dilemma of, okay, I have academic background, but no experience yet, or a lot of experience, but no academic background. How does it work with accountants when you need to be hired, when you want to find a job? Is the academic, let's say, more important than the actual experience, because then you get the experience on the job? Or do they look for experienced accountants?
Well, there's two ways to get into accountancy or to become an accountant. You don't necessarily have to have qualifications to start off with.
Okay.
For example, if you do have an analytical mind but you failed all your exams at school, you can join a company and have some on-the-job learning, perhaps in an accounting department.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you become you know, attracted by that section, then you can do a CFC or an apprenticeship in some kind of financial area and then move on and take further qualifications later on.
Okay.
If you go down the traditional route, which is go to school and then go to university, then accounting firms are looking for people with diverse backgrounds, people who clearly are interested in analysis and forecasting and who have a flair for business communication. So there's lots of different ways that companies can hire people.
Talking about skills, you know, of what it takes to be an accountant, a good accountant or a successful, someone that you can really enjoy being. If I think of myself, I'm not an organized person, so, and I can think that, you know, with numbers you need to be quite organized, you know, getting the invoices, the statements, and doing the math at some point. What are the skills that you would say are key that will make you then appreciate then your job? Soft and hard skills.
I mean, the hard skills, as an accountant, clearly you need to know the laws and the rules so that you can apply those laws and rules to the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the soft skills, as I mentioned, are having that analytical mind and being able to communicate to people. When you want to help a business, you have to be able to explain what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And another aspect is to help them with some of the changes in technology that are going to help them make their business more efficient. So that's another aspect in terms of consulting as an accountant, to help businesses become more efficient. For example, you, if you're a small business working from home and all you do is you put your invoices and papers in a box and then try and deal with them at the end of the year,
yeah,
that's a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of applications and tools that you can use these days to make that much more simple.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah. And I guess it will be better if you're not a procrastinator when you're an accountant, right?
Like everything.
Like everything.
Like everything.
It's always better to not procrastinate.
Try and do things on a regular basis and not leave it to the last minute. Procrastination is the worst thing. I mean, why do accountants exist? They exist because everybody, all businesses have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you don't pay taxes on time, you end up with fines or you end up in jail.
Yeah.
So doing things promptly and regularly in small doses is going to make everyone's life easier.
Easier, yeah. So do you get to have all your family members' tax declaration because you're the accountant, or is that your destiny?
Well, what's the expression? The dentists have the worst teeth, or the cordonnier has the worst shoes, the cobbler has the worst shoes. No, I've historically been a very bad procrastinator myself.
Okay.
So don't do as I do. Now we do the tax returns on time.
Tax returns on time and for everyone, which is good. When I think of, you know, maybe the attractiveness also of being an accountant, I can think and I can imagine you don't have to be specifically somewhere physically to do your job, because as long as you have the connection, like an intranet to the company organization, you can be literally anywhere. Is that true, or is it just a myth that I am making up in my mind?
I mean, that's very true. I mean, so another misconception about accountancy is that you're sitting in an office behind a desk having a miserable life.
Yeah.
Actually, accountancy is great fun because you get out and visit all kinds of different businesses and people, and you can meet them face to face and talk to them, understand their businesses. So me, when I was learning about accountancy, that's one of the big appeals, was being able to meet so many different people at different levels, understanding their businesses. But these days with technology, you can do a lot of that by video conference.
Mm.
But it's always nice to get out and actually physically meet the people. I think you understand, and looking at people's eyes, you can understand what their business is doing and whether they're feeling good or bad about it. That gives you a good sense.
So you've been a consultant, a accounting consultant for different companies, right?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. It's true. So you haven't worked for one company in particular as like an employee.
What happens often is you start with an accounting firm, you train to become an accountant, and then you can either specialize in certain sectors of accountancy like tax or audit or fraud or legal support, those types of things. Or many accountants, they start working for companies themselves, preparing the financial statements and the financial accounts. So in my case, that's what I did. I worked for a large accounting firm doing what's called audit. Audit is where it's a legal obligation for companies to have their financial records checked by a third party to right. make sure that they're, you know, being honest and ethical.
Right. Yeah. So you do that too?
I did that audit. Too. Mm-hmm. That's what accounting firms traditionally do. They audit other companies to make sure that they're doing the right things. But then you often become, in my case, I became an accountant for different companies. And from that base, accounting is a great base to do many other things.
Okay, and such as, for example?
So, I mean, if you have a financial background, you can do many things. In my case, I actually went into sales because I wanted to become a general manager of a business, run a business. And it's all very well understanding the finances, but if you haven't understood the commercial aspects, then you're going to have difficulty. But the great advantage is when you're selling to people, if you have a financial background, you can talk about, you know, margins and things that most salespeople don't understand so well.
Yeah.
So I always feel very comfortable talking about financial matters.
Yeah. No, that's definitely an interesting. So if you have like an ambition to then grow in either within a company or maybe having your own business, then it's, I guess, the accounting can be a pivotal and quite a key skill
Absolutely.
To have.
Absolutely.
So, because I'm also trying to be in the head of, in the shoes of a young woman or a young man that want to have maybe their freedom, they want to be able to travel. Do you think that, working in accounting or as an accountant could bring that level of freedom? Like, could you travel around, for example, work out of, from in Switzerland, but then also do accounting for other countries?
Yes, I mean, first and foremost, accounting logic applies in every country. It's the same principles. Everybody does the same thing. Everybody sells and buys services or products. So you can apply the rules to every single country. And it's true to say that most accountants do travel, and many large companies have subsidiaries around the world. So you get to travel. It's a great job for travel and meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your question is yes.
Yes.
And when you become a really experienced professional, then of course you can set up your own business and choose where you work. And providing you learn the rules of specific countries, then you can practice in different countries.
Mm. It's funny because now that I think, when I was living in the Caribbean, I was living in a country that is like an offshore country. So the main people working there were and living there were accountants and then hotel managers or, investors. And there were lots of them. And so you can have actually a great life on a Caribbean being on your flip-flop shorts and t-shirt because you're an accountant. And that I found fascinating. I would have stayed in that island if I had been accountant. So you never know where accounting can take you, for sure. You, of course, need to learn the rules of the country where you're going to be accountant for, right? So if you're maybe trained in France, you wouldn't be able to immediately work for a Canadian firm. Is that right?
Correct. You would have to learn the rules and laws of a specific country. But as I said, there are some international standards which are followed by everybody. So there's a principle base that you start off with, and that gives you a real head start if you're working in different countries. It doesn't take you long.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can have a lot of international travel.
If I were not super fan of studying and academic background, what would be my shortest route to be an accountant? Do I have to go to university or not?
No, you can start off as an apprentice in a small business.
After high school?
After high school, and start in a section of the accounting department. You know, for example, you have what's called accounts payable, which is where you're managing all the purchase invoices. Then you have accounts receivable, you manage all the sales invoices. Learning that will give you a base to perhaps think about doing some more studies that will enable you to become qualified.
Okay.
It's a great route up. And at the end of the day, if you start off as an apprentice, you can become a qualified accountant. And like any profession, you can have a very good financial life.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, another misconception is that all accountants are wealthy. You know, that like any profession, you get paid based on your, I would say, experience and knowledge. It's a supply and demand thing. The less experience you have, the less you earn. So it takes time you start generating a good income.
To build, yeah, okay.
So my message there is be patient.
Be patient, okay. No, that's very, very important. So you have spoken about a couple of myths of this job. Can you think of any other myth that people might have, you know, misconceptions of?
Yes, I mean, there's a Monty Python sketch from the 70s where they interview an accountant who wants a more exciting life, and he says, I would like to be a lion tamer. The misconception is that it is not exciting. It is actually very exciting. And when you think of the stereotypical sales guy, you imagine a guy who's an extrovert. In fact, many accountants are extroverts.
Really?
And it comes back to my point about communication. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to communicate on subjects which a lot of people don't understand simply and clearly. So, yeah.
That's a very good
point. Communicators, yeah. Extroverts, interesting characters.
Nice. Yeah, you're opening up my mind. Maybe I might just start also learning about accounting, because also it can take you to places and can make you like have a free, you know, freedom in your life that maybe other jobs don't. You know, are much more bound to a physical location where you need to be. And is there anything that you had to compromise in your life to be an accountant?
Yes, that's a very easy question for me to answer. The biggest compromise for me was finishing university. All my friends were starting working and earning, I would say, decent salaries, and also having a good social life. I had to spend 4 years studying for the exams to become an accountant whilst working during the day. So, like everything in life, you do have to make a bit of a sacrifice to qualify. And often you have to qualify after university. So that's tough. It's hard work. And you sacrifice a lot of opportunities to socialize and go to pubs and places like that.
Yes, I see. You know, to conclude, I would like also to mention how we got to know each other, and, you know, through the World Radio Switzerland, and the fact that you are also, you have a side activity as well, helping schools. And I would like you to tell me more about this.
Okay, thank you for that. I mean, there's two things I do. Number one, I've got a small consulting business, TIPO Consulting, that's there to help private schools in Switzerland become more efficient and save money.
Mm-hmm.
I also work with a partner as an entrepreneurial organization promoting business software that automates processes for small businesses using technology. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay,
right now.
Awesome. Yeah, and then maybe we'll find a way to bring more job tales and some inspiring tales to schools together. That would be great. What would you have as a final, you know, piece of advice for young men and young women?
My father gave me the best advice, which was, you know, if you get to the end of university and you still don't know what to do, or even if you finish school and you don't know what to do, think about a professional qualification, whether it's to be a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, or something like that. You will always have a job if you are a qualified professional.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you may be in the world, you will never be out of a job. In theory.
Yes.
So that's my advice. And the second piece is, accountancy is not boring. It's not dull. It's actually very, very exciting. And you get to meet some really interesting and exciting people.
Thank you, Tim, for the discount, because it also opened my eyes, and I'm sure that it has to our listeners. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
That was Tim Immens, accountant. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the JobTale series, go to worldradio.ch/jobtales or search JobTales wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of JobTales with a brand new guest, same time next week on WRS.